today's sermon is lip service. What does that mean? When you say somebody's given lip service. Tell you what you want to hear. You know, they say the right things to your face, behind your back, not so much. What we have here is Jesus talking about the fact that the Pharisees, the people in the church, were more concerned with the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Whenever I think of that, I think of Kay, because Kay gave me a little pillow that said, give up your woulda, coulda, shouldas at the door. And I think that's good for us as people in the church. We have a lot of things that we need to do. Being Presbyterian, we are a liturgical church, which means we have to do things decently and in order. Or we're known as the Frozen Chosen. Although you didn't sound like Frozen Chosen singing Freely, Freely. It really sounded beautiful. Almost brought tears to my eyes. That's how beautiful it sounded. But sometimes we let the rules get in the way of being a light to God. Now, when Jesus is talking, remember the Mosaic Covenant, God gave Moses how many rules? 10, okay? The rulers in the church then took those 10 and turned them into over 700. That you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you can't do the other thing, you can only eat this, blah, blah, blah. And yet Jesus comes back and says, no, 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 no. When you get so focused on the laws and the rules and the regulations and traditions, you lose sight of how much God loves you. And then we have Jesus going further to say, it's not what you put into your body, it's what comes out. And so I want to expand upon that. How many of you think you're a good person? Raise your hands. Come on. We all think we're good people. Now, theologically speaking, from a Reformed tradition, we know that we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, right? Okay? However, sometimes we take that sinner part a little too seriously, and we start guilting ourselves. We start playing on the fact that, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That kind of thinking is just as detrimental as someone going around thinking, I'm perfect. I'm wonderful. You have both ends of the spectrum. And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is you don't need to keep 700 laws. You don't need to worry. You need to do two things. And he took the big 10 that they moved to 700 and he put it down to 2. When they tried to trip him up and said, what are the greatest laws? And he said, all the words of the prophets hang on these 2. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor. Okay. Do you see what it says there? Not more than yourself, but as yourself. Half of my counseling is done with people who have really low self-esteems because somewhere in their life they were broken by someone who loved them. And yet Jesus is telling us, you know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can put in your body that's going to keep God from loving you. And the only thing that usually separates us from God is what comes out of our mouth. We give lip service to loving God by keeping all these rules and traditions. And yet, do we act like we truly love God? Somebody asked me this week, well, you say that a Pez dispenser, God's not a Pez dispenser. So how do I pray? If you only are sitting there asking God for things, that's not the way to pray. But it's okay to ask God for things. How many of you have ever lost your cell phone and you're waiting for a call and you're like, oh God, please help me find my cell phone. Okay? Ta-da. Oh, the whole back audio visual guys are back there. Yeah. It's okay to do that. But the caveat is, have you been talking to God throughout the day? Do you see the difference? It's okay to take everything to Him, even these little things that might be, you know, not that important in the bigger scheme of things. But if you have a relationship with somebody, don't you ask them to help you with stuff like that? I mean, think about it, spouses. If your husband is looking for his cell phone or your wife, and they say, honey, would you help me find this? Are you not going to ask them to help you find something? And poor Aaron, you know, I've told you, my grandmother used to say, thank God God attached your head, because if not, you'd never know where you put it. Okay? And poor Aaron spends half of his time just helping me find stuff around the house because I don't know where I put it. In fact, I put on my Facebook page, like if you have put something in a special place to keep it safe and then forgot where that special place is. All right? Right here. And so I'm sharing this because we need to understand that part of having the light in our life is we need to light up ourselves. We need to understand that God loves us so much that He sent Christ to die for us. See, if you don't love yourself enough, you can't share that good news. And if you can't share that good news, coming here is just giving lip service. See, the difference between the world religions is Judaism is a religion of tradition. Islam is a religion of obedience. But we have a religion of salvation. That means that God came down and did the work for us. Now, having said that, I have to say that doesn't mean you just sit around and do nothing. It means that in the midst of doing things, you keep moving forward, realizing that God will carry you through. Does that make sense? Sadly, some people think, well, if I have faith, I don't have to do anything. God will take care of me. No, that's not how it works. We see throughout Scripture, God is constantly going to people and making them do stuff. Okay, you, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, I ain't going there. And what happens? He ends up in the belly of the fish and gets up on the land. Moses goes, sees a burning bush. You're going to go preach. Oh, no, I'm not. Aaron be much better because I have a lisp and I stutter. No. I said you. Noah, go build me an ark. What's an ark and what's a cubit? You know, He works through people. He works through us. And we have to be willing to give up traditions and laws and rules and regulations if they're going to keep people from seeing the light, the life of Christ. There's a story of Queen Victoria. And they were sitting in this hall having this dinner with dignitaries. And the primary dignitary was from Africa. And they have this wonderful meal. And at the end of a formal English meal, what do they bring out? Do any of you know? A finger bowl. And so they're all sitting there, and etiquette states that the dignitary, you sort of do whatever the dignitary does. So the African dignitary looks at this bowl, and he's never seen an English finger bowl before. So he's like, okay. 500 British aristocrats are looking at Queen Victoria going, now, being Queen of England, she could have said, how dare you do that? However, that would have embarrassed her guest. So instead, Queen Victoria and 500 British aristocracy followed suit. See, that's what we're supposed to be and do. When people come into the church, you can't expect them to know all the secret words, know when to stand, know when to sit. We can't expect them to know all these theological terminology. We need need to graciously share it. We need to graciously show them. And yet all too often, we're more concerned with the way it's always been done. See, Jesus and the Pharisees had that problem. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? Now, we're not talking about just washing your hands because they're dirty. We're talking about big ceremonial, you know, finger bowl type things. And, you know, you got to say the right words. You have to have it done in a certain order. I mean, we're not just talking about going in and washing your hands before you eat. We're talking about a very pretentious ceremony. And Jesus is like, that is not going to put you in hell. Let it go. It's not that big a deal. And so he's telling us that we've got to let go of all of those things that will hinder someone else. Does that make sense? We have to let go of that helps us keep other people and ourselves down. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I don't give enough money. Oh, I don't do this. Oh, I don't do that. And Jesus is saying, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now think about that. If you don't love yourself very much, do you really think you're able to love other people? No. No. You have to have a healthy respect. You have to understand what your negative qualities as well as your positive qualities are. But then you have to be grace-filled for yourself so that you can be graceful to other people. That's what Jesus is talking about in this. I want to share one more story. And it is from... Oh, I didn't bring it. Okay, I'll make sure I can try and make sure I can remember it. There is a man who would have his shoes shined every day by a little boy. And this little boy made sure that every single day, I mean, he spit and polished. It was incredible, the work that he did, and he only got paid a nickel. And one day, this rich man who would go every day to this little boy, because he knew the little boy's family was having just very, very horrific problems because of medical bills, he made sure he went there every day. And one day he decided to ask him. And he said, son, I'd like to know, why is it you take such time and care in shining my shoes? And he said, well, sir, I believe that I should shine people's shoes as if every person who sits in this chair is Jesus. And this is how much I'd like to shine his shoes. So I shine everybody's shoes as if they're Jesus sitting in my chair. Well, that really struck this man because he had been a banker and was not the most scrupulous banker. And it touched him in such a way that he went back and decided to treat every one of his customers as if they were Jesus. Now, think about the difference that can make in our lives. If you're treating everyone as if they're Jesus coming through the door, are we going to be sitting there telling him, oh, you're not eating right. Oh, you didn't wash your hands right. Oh, you've got tattoos and piercings. Oh, you don't like the right kind of music. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do the other thing. If we do that, who do we sound like? The Pharisees. And the Pharisees are the ones who only gave Jesus lip service. They only supported him while people were interested in him, while he could have some sort of pull. But once he broke enough of the rules, enough of the traditions, and got too much in their face, what'd they do? They killed him. We, sadly, are killing people's spirits who want to come into church because we expect them to know everything when they get here. We expect them to be perfect people when they get here. We expect them to come through the doors knowing all the words, all the hymns, all the liturgy. And you know what? They don't have a clue. Let us go forth knowing that we have been called to be a light, to light up ourselves first and then light up those around us, to know that God loves you in spite of who and what you are. Turn to the person next to you and say, he loves you. Oh, say it like you mean it. Tanya, he loves you. He loves you. And if God loves us so much, instead of just being of tradition and of obedience, why do we not grab onto that gift of grace and salvation? Realizing we don't need to pay lip service. He did it. All we need to do is hang on and learn.
Again, we wish to thank you for downloading the Bethany Presbyterian Podcast, which can be found at either bethanypresbyterian.podomatic.com, or you may also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Bethany Presbyterian Church is located at 2000 Haskell Boulevard in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Sunday services begin at 10:45 a.m., with adult Sunday school starting at 9:30. You can also visit us on the web at www.bethanypresbyterianchurch.org, which features a complete listing of all the church activities. Until next time, may God bless you with this ministry, and we hope to hear from you soon.